Just trying to test how well I know my Bible, because we lost our place here. So the reading today is taken from Matthew. Well, let's start here. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. And today the gospel is taken from the 20th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the work of the day and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray. Lord, please speak now in ways that we can hear you. And if there's anything weighing on us or distracting us this time, please give us your grace to lay it aside, that we may be attentive to your word and responsive to your will. We pray that every word that is spoken here today would be glorious to you, and anything that is not of you would not be heard or received. For we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated.
This week I was at clergy conference down at the Villa Madonna for 3 days, and those filthy clergy got me sick, but I'm over it now. It could have been Isaac who got me sick. That's a very good, oh, Rachel too, yeah. School's back in, so it is the season. I shouldn't blame the clergy, eh? But in my conversations with some of the clergy there, we're all in a very challenging circumstance, aren't we, in this diocese and the church in the West in general. We're in a very challenging time. And there have been some conversations of this. What is our legacy going to be? What is our legacy going to be? If we only had so much money and so much to give, what would we want it to go toward? And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but St. Paul's in the Valley in St. John, which was the church I was baptized in, which then burnt down. Coincidence? I hope so. But years ago, they found that they could not keep going. But they had a building, and they had some money left over, and they said, "What can we do?" And so they prayed about it, and they decided to put up some money together in a trust to fund kids who can't go to camp because they're too poor to be able to go to camp. That's their legacy, camping ministry. It's a beautiful thing. But when we think about ourselves, we say, what do we want our legacy to be? And the thing with legacy is, if it's all about you, the best that's going to come maybe is a brass statue. But if you're really caring about others, then your legacy could actually bring a lot of good. Jesus, in his parable here, he's trying to paint what the kingdom of God is like. And he does this using a landowner and workers. and payment. And when we think about legacy and think about why are we here, it's an important question to remember that this parable is actually being spoken in response to something that St. Peter said. And what he said in chapter 19 was this: "Hey, Jesus, we left everything for you, our families, our homes, our work. What do we get out of it? What's in it for us?" And Jesus at first says, well, if you've left your family, well, in the kingdom, you're going to get way more brothers and sisters in this new kingdom, this new family that God is setting up than you've ever even dreamed of. But then he goes on to tell this story. And there's a problem, there's a sickness in our society right now, which is this obsession with self. And if all I can think about is what am I going to get out of this, we're infected. And we need grace. So when Jesus is painting the picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like here, this is an opportunity to say, am I living for this or am I living for something else? So I'd like to ask some questions about who this landowner is, what he's like, what the workers are like, and what this has to do with us and how we're going to live out our calling to be disciples of Jesus in this place, in New Brunswick, at this time of great division and anger. Okay? So let's start with what can be said of the landowner. Several years ago, I was talking with a pastor who told me that he was doing a funeral. And the person who died was a man, and he died, and he said, as my casket is being wheeled out of the church, I want Frank Sinatra playing on the loudspeaker. Can you guess which song he wanted?
I Did It My Way.
Yes, I Did It My Way. And if you're not familiar with that song, Google it, okay? And so the pastor, as he's watching this and he's listening to the message of this song going, and he's seeing this casket wheeling out into the hearse, he said, "You did it your way, and look where it got you." It's pretty sad, right? Now, there is a world of difference between when there is a saint who dies and we lay their body out here, and there is sorrow, right? They're going to miss that person. But there's also a sense of triumph that this person didn't live for themselves alone. They gave, and the people in the room love them. And there's this sense of they're going on to their rest and their reward, and this goodbye isn't a final goodbye. There's like something triumphant in the funeral of a saint. They didn't do it their way. This story is not about the workers. It's about the landowner. And what we see here is that the landowner is, the first thing is, he's passionate. So he goes out to get workers for the vineyard, for this vineyard. There's a harvest time. It needs to come in. He's excited about this harvest. He doesn't go out once or twice or three times. He goes out five times through the day. And he keeps bringing in people to come and be, like, harvest time was a celebration time. It was a good time. And he wanted as many people working to be part of this as possible. He was passionate about what he was doing. But here's the other thing. He didn't hire a recruitment firm to get workers into his vineyard. He went out personally and looked people in the eye and said, "Come and work in my vineyard." Sometimes we buy into the lie that God is far away and he sort of set us up like a top and let us go. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that right now the Holy Spirit is present within us, calling us, inviting us, empowering us, inspiring us to do the work of the kingdom. God isn't removed. He's very personal. He's very present. And there's good news in that. So he's passionate, he's personal, and he's fair. A denarius was what you get for a day's wages, but it wasn't just a day's wages. It's like, well, if I give them this money, they'll have enough to live on till tomorrow, and then they'll come back for more. It was a generous day's wage where you could cover your expenses and have a little bit more. So he was fair. He cared about the workers. He was generous. And we see it towards the end of the story. He didn't care about what the work-to-pay ratio was. He gave everybody a day's wages. He's generous. Scandalously so. That's what grace is. It's not right. It's not just, right? It's so amazing. Just think for a second. We look at that as the laborers who bore the heat of the day and think, that's not fair. Well, let's step into the shoes of the laborer who worked for 60 minutes and got a day's pay. They won the lottery, right? How thankful would they be? Anyway, we'll get there in a minute. So he is generous, abundantly so, and his concern seems to be for the worker. Because why else would he pay the equal pay for everybody who needed the pay? And if you've ever seen on the news, people, especially foreign workers in the States, where they're just waiting around for some construction company to pick them up, and when they don't, there's just such desperation and such sadness. It's so unjust, and it's so dehumanizing. But the final thing we need to remember here is that the authority belongs to the landowner. The land belongs to him. The vineyard belongs to him. The money belongs to him. And so when we sometimes get caught off guard, we start thinking about ourselves more than what God may be doing, we've got to ask, who's in charge here? Am I trying to fill that role? Or is it actually God who belongs in that role? Just before we move on, I want to state very clearly that when we're talking about pay here, we're not in a contract with God where if I do X, then God is bound to do Y. Because God doesn't work in contracts. That's more like the devil go down to Georgia, you know, looking for a soul to steal. That's a contract. You do this, I'll do this. God invites us into covenant, which is a relationship. Live for me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people in this new way of being. So let's not get down that road. How many people here have ever had to work with a union? Yeah. How many of you would file a grievance if you were given pay for a day's work when people who works for 60 minutes got the same pay? Would you file a grievance for that? Would you? Some would, some wouldn't. Just be happy for others. Other people like, uh-uh. Yeah, my sister's working right now in St. John, and the workers are on strike, and she's taking calls right now at the 911 center, which she used to manage. And so she was telling me this weekend about what kind of calls she's getting, and she's working 12-hour shifts trying to get through this. But there just seems to be something wrong with this picture that just gets us, right? It's because we don't like it. One of the struggles in our world today as workers, not just workers in the kingdom, but as people trying to get through, is that we are often thinking about ourselves, about what we think is right. And one of the things that is really grieving us, especially in the last week or two, has been the protests going on around Policy 713. Right? There's been some hate spoken. There's been some lies spoken by both sides. Now, if you were to go up to this recent protest and get someone off by themselves and said, what's your hope here? I can almost guarantee you they would say, I want a better world for these kids. And if you go to the other protest that happened weeks before, what would they say? I want a better world for these kids. Right? Part of the problem with the workers in this vineyard is that they took their eyes off, the ones who were there all day long. They knew the job. They bore the burden. They had some pride in what they were doing, right? And then when these newbies came in, they didn't even get to know them over a smoke break because they were just there for 60 minutes. They didn't know them. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't understand how hard it's been all day. And they started looking down on them because they didn't have the same kind of experience. One of the problems with these people, these two different factions in our society that want to make a better world, is that they look down on each other. Why are people so hateful? Because they're not allowed to speak. Why are people so angry? Because they're afraid. They don't feel supported. They don't feel heard. I think it's a scary world we live in when we can't speak. You know? It doesn't feel safe to speak. That's not the kingdom that Jesus wants for us. That's not the one he came to establish. So what are we to do about this kind of thing? And I've had a few conversations with different folks this week, and I don't usually let my opinion get known, because I think that there's a bigger problem right now. We don't love each other enough to hear each other. Our need to be right and to get our way, to have our version of what life should be like, trump anybody else's opinion. And if they don't agree with me, then shut up. Go away. Go find an island somewhere. And it doesn't matter what your opinion is, because people are saying the same stuff to each other. So I want to get back to legacy for a second. We are workers for the kingdom, right? What would be a good legacy to leave behind? And I think, you know, we were given the ministry of reconciliation. We've received it, and we are to enact it. And so, could I make a suggestion that in this next week to come, first of all, be praying for our teachers and our politicians. Be praying for the communities we agree with and disagree with. To be doing that, of course. But when we get in conversations that we don't agree with, could we just ask gentle questions? Everything okay? Yeah, okay. Could we ask questions that just encourage people? So like when somebody comes in and says, can you believe this? And I said, do you think that person is evil incarnate? Do you think they're a complete write-off and they don't know anything? Or can we work towards maybe a presumption of goodwill that they actually are coming wanting to make things better? Could we curve conversations so that instead of we actually start saying, I want to understand your perspective. Will you respect me enough to hear mine? The workers in this were only caring about what they went through. And they lost sight of what the landowner wanted to do. We need to take a step back and say, how can we as church model compassion and truth? How can we embody kindness so that people feel safe to share and to know that they're loved whether or not we agree with them? Because they are made in the image of God, and God calls us to love and respect. We have a role to play here. And I think that embodying the values of the kingdom is how we live out our legacy. So what is the kingdom of God like about this passage? God is in charge. He's in charge. And he's intimately present. He cares for us all. And I think that when we get sort of lost in the idea that I've been a Christian, I've been a cradle Anglican for 43 years, and you know, we get in this, and then we start stopping the invitation to everyone, and we think, hey, we're bouncers at the door. Yeah, you can come in now, but I don't want you to take any of my grace. So we're not bouncers. We're agents of invitation. And if God is present and passionate, can we be? Can we be present? And can we be embodying the love and the invitation that he has for us? And again, I want to go back. A long time ago, we talked about the bicycle tire. That if Jesus is in the center, no matter what spoke we're on or where we're on the tread of the tire, if Jesus is our common goal, that as we come closer to him, we'll be coming closer to each other. Jesus must be our goal. And bringing glory to his name and not thinking about what's in it for me, but how can I bring glory to Jesus? That's where the kingdom is established. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation and for the means through which you have invited us to be part of your family. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would make us workers that are passionate as you are passionate, that we are present as you are present, that we are just as you are just, that we are generous as you are generous, and that we would be thinking of those around us and how we might honor you in our treatment of them. So Lord, please be exalted in and through your church, and please refresh in us, revive in us the ministry of reconciliation, that we might be peacemakers in our troubled world and agents of your love and blessing. We ask this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.